Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on how to receive God's best. This is the beginning of my third week teaching on this. We're into our second teaching in a five-part set. And I think that this is really powerful. I know that in my own personal life, this revolutionized me. You know, last Friday, I gave some personal examples. I'm not going to go back and redo all of that, but I just would like to say that I discovered this by necessity. And I was struggling, especially in the area of finances. Jamie and I were just on the brink of starvation and total destruction for years. I mean, well over a decade. And it was because I didn't understand the difference between a blessing of God and receiving a miracle. I was believing God to just miraculously supply my need. And He can do that, and He has done it for me, but it's the exception rather than the rule. God wants to bless us and supply our need through a blessing and not through a miracle. That's a big difference. If you've missed any of what I've talked about, I really encourage you to please get these materials because this made a difference in my life. I began to realize that in order for me to start flowing in the blessing of God, there were things I needed to do. Not that I made God move or that God waited on me and responded to me, but it's just like the law of electricity. You know, you could generate the power, you could put that power into a home, but it's not going to flow through wood or through paper the way that it flows through copper wires. There are laws that govern how electricity flows, how those electrons flow, and you can't just make them up and do it any way you want to. It doesn't matter how crisis your situation is, how desperate the need, you have to cooperate with the laws. And if you are going to operate in the blessing of God, there are laws that govern it. In the area of finances, some of those laws are Deuteronomy chapter 28, God will bless what you set your hand unto. In other words, you got to do something. And 100 times zero is zero. If you're doing nothing, if you're just sitting there and praying and asking God to supply your need, 100 times zero is zero. You aren't going to get it through the blessing. If you are able to maintain your faith, and if you stand in spite of all of the problems, you can receive a miracle. God could just miraculously meet your needs, but it's only going to be after you are in deep crisis. You will go from crisis to crisis, and that is not abundant. That is not the way that God wants you to live. So if you want to really have the blessing of God flowing in your life, you got to start doing something. Set your hand unto something. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that if you don't work, don't eat. And there's a lot of people that don't work who are just praying and asking God to help them eat. If you get your needs supplied, it's going to be a miracle, not a blessing. You're going to have to start cooperating with the laws laid down in the Word of God about how the blessing of God flows. So anyway, in my own personal life, it took me a long time to learn this, and I tell you, it has made a huge difference. And I'm living in a level of prosperity, not only in our ministry, but in our personal life, that I couldn't have even dreamed of before, and it's because of this teaching. You know, I used to have a teaching entitled Blessings and Miracles, and this is a revamping of it. It's got a little different application. I believe that it's new and improved. And but one of the reasons that I retitled this is because it just didn't seem to ring a bell with people. Blessings and Miracles. They didn't understand what that's about. And I think it's much more people can relate to it by saying how to receive God's best. But this is powerful that I'm talking about. Here's another point that I want to make, and I started making this on our program last Friday, that you can't look at things, physical assets, and say that these are the blessings of God. I know that all of us do that, but technically speaking, that is one of the manifestations or a result of the blessing of God, but they are not the blessing of God. The blessing of God is not some physical thing. And I think it's important for you to understand this because if you think that the blessing of God is just these physical things, then if you don't have them or if they ever fluctuate, Say if you were to lose your job and you didn't have a paycheck coming in, then somebody might think, I'm not blessed. But the truth is, the blessing of God is completely separate from your physical circumstances and situation. There are some of you watching this program right now that you don't have a lot of evidence of the blessing of God in your life. You may not have very many assets. You may be struggling. But if you are born again, God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. He has commanded a blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand unto. Deuteronomy chapter 28. God has blessed you. You are blessed if you are born again. Now, you may not be receiving it. You may not be knowing how to get it working and manifest, but you are blessed. And you've got to believe that. And it helped me when I understood that the blessing of God isn't physical things. Here's what the blessing of God is. It's God's favor spoken over you. It's always spoken. But it's just God's supernatural favor. And it's spoken over you. And once God speaks that favor over you, the only thing that can stop it from working is your unbelief. And that unbelief could come through rebellion or through ignorance. The examples I gave last week, it was all ignorance on my part that kept me from operating in the blessings of God. But nonetheless, it stopped. It didn't stop God from giving, but it stopped me from receiving the blessings of God because I was not cooperating with the things that He told me to do. But you've got to understand that the blessing of God is just His favor spoken over you. Let me go through Genesis chapter 1 and just real quickly make a point. I could spend weeks teaching on this. But God releases His power always through words. It says in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God created light 3 days before there was a sun for the light to come from. God just created words. He spoke them into existence. Again, that's hard for us to get our carnal brain around, but God said, let there be light. He released His power by His words. In verse 6, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters, and it came to pass." God just spoke this space. You know, the water that was here on this earth, apparently it used to be throughout the universe or something. I don't know exactly how this worked, but God said, let there be a firmament and the sky and then space, because later He put the moon and the stars in this firmament. So it's talking about this huge expanse of space. There is water someplace on the other side of the universe. He divided those waters from the waters that are here on this earth. And He created all of this space by just speaking it into existence. That's absolutely amazing. In verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." God just spoke, and all of a sudden the mountains came up, the waters were gathered into oceans and seas, and He did all of this by His word. In verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed," and all of this. And God spoke grass, plants, and all of these things into existence. In verse 14, "God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights." And so in verse 16, it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." This is the fourth day of creation. On the very first day of creation, He said, let there be light, and there was light. But it was the fourth day before God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's awesome. And He just spoke them all into existence. This is how God always releases His power, spoken things. And then it says in verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven." And it came to pass. God spoke life into existence, all of the creatures in the sea and birds. In verse 22, "And God blessed them." This is talking about all of the creatures in the sea and all of the fowl that fly. Notice it says, "He blessed them, saying," now this is really important, everything physical that we can see, everything that is what we consider real, was created by words. Words are how God spoke everything. People will often say that, you know, the Lord reached down with His hand and gathered up this and flung the stars in space and things. And that's okay for a symbolism and for an analogy or something. But technically speaking, God didn't mold us with His hands. He didn't reach down and do anything with His fingers. He spoke everything into existence. God creates by words. God releases His power, His divine nature by words. And then it says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God blessed them by saying. So here is the definition of what a blessing is. The blessing is God's divine favor or His power spoken over us. God loves us. And He releases His love and everything that that love produces by speaking it over us. And when He speaks positive things over us, that's a blessing. And when God speaks a punishment upon us, that's a curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. So the curse, God is not cursing us today. God is not causing problems in any person's life. And now all He's doing is speaking favor and positive things over you. That's what the Bible calls a blessing. In verse 24 it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after His kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after their kind. And it was so. Again, God created every animal that we know of by speaking them with His words. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. And then He created mankind, Adam and Eve. In verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. Here again, God cannot release His blessing any other way but to say it. That's how He created the whole universe. That's how He created us. That's how He releases His power for blessing, is by speaking it. So God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. You know, I could take time on every one of these things. I've got other teachings, the authority of the believer, and so many others that go into a lot of detail on this. But by God saying this, it says in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 34, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. When God says something, it's binding. It's a covenant. It's a contract. God cannot, He will not ever break His word. So when God said, you be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and you subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, God gave us dominion. God put us in the driver's seat. In the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis, He told Noah after the flood, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the field. And you know, that's the reason that today, here we are thousands of years later, every animal on the face of the earth is afraid of mankind. Now, they will fight, they will attack, put provoked, put into a corner. But you know what? There is a fear and a dread of man upon every animal of the field because God said it. He created it. And this is what the blessing of God is. The blessing of God isn't just things. The blessing of God can produce things. It will have these things as a byproduct. It's like a boat. When it goes through the water, it makes a wake. And you can see the waves and the wake behind the boat as it moves through. But the wake isn't the boat. It's the result of the boat having come through, the ship having come through, but it is not the same thing. Well, likewise, the blessing of God will cause many things to be in its wake. You will see physical assets. You will see people blessed. You will see all kinds of things happen. But these physical things are not the blessing of God. They are just byproducts, a result of a person believing and receiving the blessing of God. Now, to me, this is very important that you begin to understand the power of words to bless. And specifically, of course, You know, the scripture says over in Romans chapter 12, it commands us, people, to bless and curse not. You may not really think much about that, but you either bless people, you release positive life with your words, or you release death. It's put this way in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It didn't say death and life and just a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. No, it's either every word that comes out of your mouth is either life or it's either death. It's either a blessing or it's a curse. Every word, and not only every word that comes out of your mouth, but every word that comes to your ear. People bless and people curse. We don't often ascribe those words to it. You know, sometimes we do, like when a person sneezes, we'll say, bless you. You know, I don't know how that really got started, but it looks to me like somebody understood the power of a blessing. And because when you sneeze, there's a possibility that you might be taking a cold or something, they countered it by speaking a blessing over you and say, God bless you. It'd be like saying health to you instead of sickness or something. I think somewhere back hundreds of years ago or whenever this got started, somebody understood that you can bless people. And you can say positive things over them. And you can also curse people. That's the reason the scripture says bless and curse not. And so we can bless people, we can curse people, but our words don't carry near the weight of God's words, because the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It takes a combination of the two. It's not just words. You have to believe it. That's the reason that when a person says, oh man, that tickled me to death, that's the reason you don't fall over dead, because you know what? You didn't believe it. You were saying it in jest. You have to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, and then the power is released in it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. But words are still important and they're still powerful, and so you shouldn't go around speaking negative things about people, but our words don't carry the same weight as God simply because we don't believe it. God never says anything that He doesn't believe. It is backed up 100% with His heart. So when God says something, again, Psalms 89, verse 34, it becomes a binding contract. It's a covenant. It cannot be broken. When God says it, the whole universe is held together by the power of His Word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And so when God speaks a blessing, when God says something, it is powerful. But there are things we have to do to cooperate with it. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it was using the children of Israel as an example. And God brought them out of the land of Egypt by miracles. And then He was going to bring them into the promised land, into a blessed land is what it said, a land that flows with milk and honey, a land that was abundant. It was God's will to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land, not to spend 40 years in the wilderness. But it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You have to believe to activate the blessing of God. The blessing of God is God's favor spoken over you, and then we have to speak these blessings. They are voice activated, faith activated, you could say, to make them start working. God has already spoken all kinds of blessings over us, but they don't happen if we don't get into faith, and faith has to be spoken to really release its power. For instance, I'll probably cover this in more detail as I get into it, but just real quickly again, let me jump ahead and say that in Psalms chapter 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, this is talking about blessing and protection. It's talking about all of these things. And if I had time, I don't have time on today's program, but if you would just go through and read Psalms 91, it's powerful. That your enemies will come out against you one way and flee seven ways, and all of these great things that He promised, long life would He satisfy us and show us His salvation, etc. But it says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. All of these things, the blessings that are pronounced in Psalms chapter 91 are voice activated. You have to say of the Lord, He is your refuge and your fortress. It's the Word of God that released the blessing of God originally, and then we have to receive it and speak it out of our mouth. And that's when it starts operating. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But we have to learn to receive it. We have to understand what God has blessed us with. We need to increase our goals and start shooting for the abundance and the blessing that God has given us and quit settling for a curse and something less than what God wants us to have. And we have to set those goals and then we have to start speaking it and pursuing it and cooperating with the laws that God created. For instance, in the area of finances, I've already used that as an example, that I was not cooperating, I wasn't working and doing things, and yet I was expecting to receive a miraculous supply. Well, I did when I got in a deep enough crisis, but I never walked in an abundance because I wasn't cooperating with the laws that govern how a blessing works. Likewise, you can do the same thing in the physical realm. You could sit there and be believing God for a good heart, but if you're just feeding yourself total junk food and never exercise and don't take care of yourself, and if you're operating in strife and bitterness and all of these things that the Bible says that, you know, that envy is the rottenness of the bones, that's going to cause physical problems in your body. And you've got to learn to cooperate with the laws that God created this body to operate under. You can't just sit there and be a 500-pound overweight and expect to have everything work in your body the way it's supposed to. You're violating the laws that God created. Now, you could have a miracle. You could have God supply you with a miracle and somehow or another have a heart attack and get healed of it and over it, but it's going to be temporary and you'll have it again and you're going to continue to have problems. If you really want to be set free, you need to learn how to take care of your body. You need to learn how to honor your parents, which is a promise of long life. You need to learn that a merry heart does good like a medicine, and you need to quit grieving and being depressed and start operating in joy. And you need to start cooperating with these natural laws in order to see the blessing of God produce health. You might get health by a miracle, but it's only going to be temporary and you will be in trouble again. But if you will operate within the laws that govern the blessing, you can walk in divine health and not ever get sick. Man, I've just said a mouthful. These are some important things. And I'm out of time today. I've got a lot more to share on this. I encourage you to listen in to our program tomorrow. I'm going to continue to go deeper into this. And also, please get the materials that I'm offering. We make these as available as I possibly can. I say for a donation of any amount. And we mean that. If you can't send the suggested donation, you do what you can do and we will help you and we will get this teaching to you. And if you have nothing to send at all, well then we'll give you this individual teaching entitled Crisis and Miracles as our gift. Listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Crisis and Miracles, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship conference this week, June 15th through the 17th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Could there be a better way to worship? You won't want to miss the first ever Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through 17th in Colorado Springs. Live worship with recording artists Don Bowen and Daniel Amstutz, as well as Kent Henry and Angel Garrett, plus local and national praise and worship singers and musicians, and teaching by Andrew Womack and CBC instructors. The first ever Better Way to Worship Conference. Admission is free, but you must register to attend. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Check out his story today. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.